Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. But we are live. Andrew just committed to me to do his best. I've committed to you guys to do an average job. I think I moved that the wrong way. I've got a little tiny thing I got to fit in. All right. Andrew, I can't tell because my screen quality is not that good, but it appears he's talking into a Lego microphone.
Lego mic. Yeah,
Lego. It has M-I-K-E on it. Lego mic. This is a high dollar ATR 2100 from Amazon, people. This is 60 American dollars of all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to be like you, Mike, so I had to get one here. So.
Well, I want to be like you. Does that mean I have to downgrade into a Lego world?
No, it means you need a stretching machine. You're too short.
Yeah, so Andrew came to one of our live events, and when he showed us, like, goodness. And I got to tell you, after Andrew graduated our Clean Profit program, and after he did, some guy wanders in claiming he's going to be the tallest guy in our program. And I immediately think of Andrew. I'm like, I don't know, dude. What are we working with here? 6'4", 6'5"? Andrew's got that in his sleep. Dude's 7 feet. So I think I would like to get a picture of him next to you, next to me.
Man, 7 foot. You got me whipped.
Yeah, I was. I haven't seen him. So this is all verbal claiming. I don't know if it's the truth. Rohan says, hey, hang out and do what? I don't know what we're talking about. Jason Johnson in the house. He is one of our Millionaire Alliance folks that I'm going to see. Actually, we had dinner, but I talked to him yesterday, but we are all hanging out Friday. He took the liberty of coming into town like 3 weeks early. I don't know when he came in, but wait, Daisy's in the house. We got everybody. It's like a whole reunion. Everyone's coming out for you, Andrew. Like, oh my gosh, Andrew's gonna be on. We're gonna come out and hear what kind of brilliant things he has to say.
Awesome. I'm ready.
All right. So our warm-up for this was literally me making fun of Andrew's Lego microphone and then hitting go. So if it goes terrible, everyone blame me. When it goes amazing, give Andrew all the credit because he's a rock star. All right. That said, let's dive into Andrew and his business. You've been graduated for like a month, so I got to retouch base with where the heck you were. But let's start from the beginning. Back before we met, what was going on in your business? What was frustrating you? What made you reach out? Just like set the stage for us.
So I purchased Miss Pretty Picky in March of 2018, so just over a year ago. It was kind of a business. We had employees. It was kind of not a business because I
wouldn't put that on the business cards, by the way. Miss Pretty Picky, kind of a business. Well, you know,
what we did was we took what we had, and I was advised by a friend, don't make any changes for a year. So I felt like that was good advice because I didn't really know what to change. So I got into it. I made it about 9 months because somewhere toward the end of October, I looked back and summer was crazy. We did a bunch of vacation rentals, one-time cleans, move-out cleans, in addition to recurring residential and recurring commercial. But I barely made it. And so I looked at my wife, Christy, and I said, baby, look, something's got to change because this is not sustainable. I really couldn't do another year of it, much less a few more months. I was just going batty. So, I started looking for ways to systemize things. I've got some business background and I had some ideas, but I didn't really know exactly what to do. So one day I found myself searching, on YouTube. I had subscribed to a window cleaning channel because I'm also a window cleaner. And he did a live broadcast from a mastermind group. And I thought, mastermind. So I got on and I did a search term on, I think it was YouTube.
And I was hoping, by the way, when you said window cleaner doing a live broadcast, and I'm like, come on, please be from like 30 stories up. I'm one of those, but you know, the mastermind is good too, I suppose.
Well, that would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
We don't have 30 stories here in Kalispell. I think they've got a height restriction of 60 feet. So,
all right, 6 stories in the air.
Yeah, that's the best. Yeah. But so I searched for mastermind cleaning company, I think on YouTube, and I found your stuff and started listening. And all of it made sense, actually. And so one thing led to another. And I think, I don't know what the the timeline for most folks from first contact to get in is probably different for everybody. For me, it seemed like it was pretty quick because I found the information, I signed up for the short consult, and then that next day I was in, you know, the Clean Profit Method. So it's exactly what I needed at the time. So that's a summary.
So great summary. A couple of quick comments. First and foremost, I love and hate one of the first things Andrew said. It was good/terrible advice. I do get the opportunity and the honor to get to work with quite a few folks that have just bought a business or going to buy a business. More often than not, they've already bought. So a lot of stuff that I was, you know, might have kind of given feedback is already done. So if you're going to call me before you buy, if possible, not after. But that said, the feedback on change, don't do anything for a year. I would say I love the don't do anything for a while. And I think we're getting a bunch of feedback. Is that on your end or is that on my end, Andrew? Can you hear that?
I don't have any feedback.
All right. Well, then if it's just me, I'll pretend it's not there. So having bought and sold several companies, I found that especially when I sell and people give me a bunch of money, hey, Luciano, glad to have you. Or Luciana. It's a picture of a girl smiling. And I'm like, hi, Luciano. That's not a girl's name. Come on. Get your head in the game, champion. Anyway, all that to say, what the heck was I talking about? Oh, so yeah, people paid me seven figures for this business that I put together and then immediately started to dismantle it and to disastrous results. So I would absolutely agree with your friend's feedback on when you first purchase a business, cleaning or otherwise, don't jump in and do everything. I shouldn't say that. If you bought a healthy business and this isn't an expertise and you're not some kind of turnaround expert, then give it some time. The flip side is I don't know that I'd go for a year. I think 6 months, maybe even 3 to 6 months is probably a little better. And certainly if you've got someone that's a coach that knows what they're talking about to help you, I would expedite that. But if you're on your own, I like the giving it 3 to 6 months. I don't know that I'd give it a year. Omar says, hey, good afternoon, Omar. Good to have you. He must be on the East Coast because I'm over here in the West. It's still 10:37 in the AM. That said, one thing Andrew said I love that I want you guys to look at for your company. We're going to jump back into what Andrew got out of his time and all the cool stuff he's done. Is he said, you know, I don't know, it must be a little different in that, you know, I found you and pretty quickly we were in your Clean Profit program. The reality is we have buying cycles of a year, a week, a day. And how it affects you guys is you have typically buying cycles a week, certainly if you're doing it right. So a lot of folks, one of the big mistakes people are going to make is only looking for people ready to buy now. And the problem is that's where all the competition is. That's where the expensive leads are. That's where people are focused on price and not really your unique value. So the longer you, and again, when folks like Andrew show up and it's a good fit right off the bat, those are great. And you want to make sure you have a funnel that accommodates them and their needs. You don't want to make them wait till later if they want help now. But if they need help now with a residential, commercial, whatever you have, or if they're interested now, you want to make sure you have an automated system to build that relationship continuously. Because I have folks that are like, I've been listening to you for 3 years and today's the day. I finally have pain. I need your help. So all that to say, make sure you don't just have a sales funnel that only looks for the people that are brand new. Can you read the chat, Andrew, or is it just me?
No, Daisy, I can't.
What's that?
No, I can't see it.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of negative stuff about you and your family.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
It's really harsh.
So I believe nice you, man. I believe you.
He's nice enough to come on my show, and I did bust his chops and make it fun. Daisy says, we also found you on a 15-hour drive to Florida. Listen to your podcast on the way there and the ride back home. So that's a good indicator that Daisy and her amazing husband, Dylan, are insane, because anyone listen to my crazy voice for that long, he's got mental problems, but it's a good thing we love you. And then Veronica says hello. Ricky Evans says hello, gentlemen. He's in the wrong place. He thinks there's gentlemen on the phone. It's just Andrew certainly qualifies, yeah, but for me, that's a stretch. All right, so Andrew bought a company, gave it about 9 months, it feels like, to kind of just get the feeling, which I think is very wise. A lot of people, very few do that, very, very few, and most people be served by that. And then said, okay, it's time to get some help. Went on, found someone he trusted. Talk to me about the big things that weren't working in your business and kind of the big changes you made, so other people that have those same, you know, pains and fears can go, well, actually, before we even get there, what was scary? Because jumping in, trusting someone to your business and like, hey, give me money. Trust me to not make decisions for you, but do stuff that's scary and outside of your comfort zone. That's an uncomfortable place to be.
Well, it's kind of like this. If you're in the dark and you bump into somebody that's got a flashlight, what are you going to do? Tell them, hey, don't use that the way you want to. Just, you know, I don't know. To me, it's not hard to trust somebody. I listened to your stuff quite a bit, really up front, just to make sure that you weren't an idiot. And I confirm that you're not an idiot. The
Hold on, I got this on recording. I'm going to play it for my wife, Natalie.
But no, I mean, I got a sense for the input that you would have. I didn't know all the details. I didn't feel like it was necessary for me to inspect under the hood and find out everything that you thought about X, Y, and Z. It all made sense to me on a kind of 20,000 foot up level. So I figured I've been coached before, and I know that the concept of coaching is trust your coach. And so that was kind of my foundation. So it wasn't really that scary for me. Matter of fact, it was kind of comforting because I knew that you knew stuff that I didn't know. And if I just did what you told me to do for the most part, I'd be in good shape. And I think it's worked out well so far.
Guys, gals out there listening, that is huge. Having the opportunity to talk to dozens and dozens, well over 50, close to 100 owners of cleaning companies every month, you start getting a pattern of what's going to work and what's not going to work, who's going to have success and who's not. And I got to tell you, with the heart that Andrew just had, and again, you don't just go into things dumb. It's not like he did zero due diligence. It's not like he just spun a wheel and wherever it stopped, that's what he did. But he said two or three things. I wish I could have typed them faster. Just like, I didn't have to know every single thing. And again, this isn't about me. So please don't hear me saying you got to use me. Any coach that you're going to use, you certainly want to get to the point where you feel like you're a match core values wise, right? And that they know what the heck they're doing and they actually have the ability to help you. That said, once you've got that, if you're all in, go in. Because so much of this has to do with you. We've had folks that, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of success stories, but there are people that come in and don't do the work, get scared, get overwhelmed, and argue, that won't work for me, you don't understand my business, all that sort of stuff. And they talk themselves out of the results that they want. So that open-mindedness of just, yeah, that guy knew what he was doing. And in that area of life, I'm sure 92% of life, Andrew's a lot brighter than I am, but in that one area, I had more experience. He's like, I'll just do that. That tends to get massive results. So we're going to certainly talk tactics and technique, or Andrew is, but that mindset of, I was really committed and I want to change and I found what I liked and I just went all in. Oh my gosh, will that serve you? And a mindset of, I don't know, I got to think it through. I was talking with a couple the other day, broke my heart. They had listened to dozens of hours of the podcast. She'd gone through a webinar. I think I coached her for an hour and 40 minutes. We got through some real huge breakthroughs and she's like, I'm not sure. I've got to talk to some other people. And I was like, goodness gracious, honest to goodness, if you still need to talk to other people, I probably can't help you, because they're going to say one or two things. He's terrible. Well, you've spent hours and hours coaching with me. And if you don't think I'm good, then let's not work together. Or they're going to say he's amazing. You should already know that. So all that to say, I just love that open-handed and mindset of, I needed help. I found someone needed help and I didn't make it any more complex. And then I did what the guy said. Like, it's really not that complex. People change it. And John, a former guest on the broadcast, saying hello to one tall, smart guy and another guy with a loud mouth. All right. So I'll let you guys decide who's who. I'm 6 foot, by the way. Andrew's got 6-7 inches, obviously. You do the math. All right. So first of all, yeah, if you guys are writing anything down, I know we're going to get into some kind of stuff that you guys probably want in terms of tactics and exactly what do I do. But I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time on what Andrew just said, because that is key. And if you're listening to a replay, go back and listen to that, because that attitude from a coach that sees people that he knows are going to succeed and knows aren't before they even get started, that attitude is like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Someone's going to succeed. All right. So what was your kind of big struggle and pain when you came in, and what are some of the first things that you did, whether they worked or not? Give us the good stuff. If you ran into a brick wall, share it. If you kicked butt and took names, share that piece of it too.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the first thing that we do in Clean Profit Method is the foundation, and it comes down to core values. And I kind of had that going in the background of my mind, and it was even in the background of my hiring system, but it wasn't really written down. It wasn't expressed. Thought through much. So my core values didn't really change much from what I was living, but putting them in writing and actually implementing them in my hiring process, and just in how I relate with customers, really made a big difference. So, I mean, and I don't really want to change anything with the program. It's that, it's, you know, and then it's the other two pieces, the client attraction and employee attraction funnels. But you did say something I want to come back to. You said it's about you, and I'm not sure this is exactly what you intended, but one other thing I wanted to make sure that I said was that tactically speaking, everything that you've got is right on. But one thing that I struggled with, and I continue to I'm aware of it, but it's still something that I have to face, and that is that that there's things in me that really have a potential outcome of preventing me from going where I need to go. Whether it's, you know, those things like fear or lack of confidence or whatever those things are that each of us struggle with. And that's why I love the program, because it's kind of like rails for a train. If you just stay on the train rails, you'll be fine. Keep moving. The fears might be, you know, threats from the side of the train. The train is big enough. You just stay on the rails, and the threats, you don't ignore them. You really have to deal with them. And if you've got fear about failure, then you really have to deal with that, because ultimately that's an internal thing that no matter how good you are, Mike, you're not going to get where you need to go. So I just want to come back around to that, because that was really important for me too. And again, I'm not done with it. You know, there's still things, honestly, I look at certain things in the program and I think you know what I mean? But just staying on those rails is another thing I wanted to bring back.
That's a great point. That mindset work continues, and I would be a big fat liar if I'm like, I wake up every day, all day with a great attitude and I'm super excited. Certainly that's my goal, but not even close to my reality. So I think that's a lifelong, I don't want to say struggle, it can be, but a battle or just something we have to be cognizant of and keep going. And I found the more successful the people are, certainly there's systems and processes and tactical stuff that's key, but the mindset is undeniable, right? Because there's lots of different ways to skin a cat or to build a business, but there's really only one effective mindset. Miguel in the house. I feel like I haven't had Miguel on for a long time. Team Mama Gloria. Love that guy and that family. Super cool. All right. So you got in, and you're absolutely right. I remember, Andrew, and this is a good point of some folks too, because there's some pieces of the puzzle oftentimes where you're like, I just don't know, right? Whether it's client attraction or foundational stuff or whatever. You're like, I don't know. I need a system. I'm starting from scratch. I have no clue. There's going to be some parts where you're already doing it. You're just like, I didn't know that's what it was called, or I wasn't doing it on purpose, or I didn't know how to do it intentionally. Like Andrew is great with core values. Like if you want to work for a cool cleaning company, he's one of the guys that like, if I had to work for a cleaning company, that you're one of the guys like, yes, he's got it right. So that's almost even more fun when you get guys or gals that, because it's always gonna be everything, right? Anytime you're trying to learn a new skill, generally are you gonna be like, I have nothing to start with, I know nothing, I have no assets. Not the case. It's typically gonna be, I've got some blind spots here and some other things, I'm actually doing okay, but it would be nice to A, get encouragement that I am doing okay, and B, have someone identify like, you're doing it right, dude, and then B, kind of put some wind beneath that sail. So go, okay, that is a skill I'm doing, and it is important, I should focus on it, which Andrew had a lot of in the, certainly in the core values piece, which is so, it just infiltrates throughout the whole thing. So, all right, what's, give me the biggest struggle. I don't want to just talk about how awesome life is. In the 9 weeks, I know I beat you up. I know I put you way out of your comfort zone, asked you to do things you didn't want to do. Love how coachable you are, but share some of the fears that maybe I didn't even get when you were in the middle of it. And you're like, I don't want to do it. And how'd it turn out?
So, client attraction is probably my biggest struggle. It's connected with the fact that I've committed to getting out of cleaning. At the same time, there's things that have come up that not even realizing I've said yes to, and that have kind of not prevented, but really slowed my progress. So the client attraction, component and this is something where I'm totally open to coaching, in a big, huge market. The electronic version of it is huge. And I've just tried to figure out what it looks like, the electronic plus whatever else I can do in this small market of mine. Because so much business in this market happens because of a handshake. And so I don't at all diss the client attraction, the electronic component, you know, the funnels and everything, which I'm committed to finishing up my first one at the end of a week from Friday. But the whole interpersonal thing is I think in this market really important. I've seen it. I've gotten, and not to say that you can build a huge growing, a fast growing business on that, but I think it's a component that I've got to continue to serve as well.
Yeah, and that's, I'll give you and the listeners out there an encouragement. A lot of times we focus on the off, and you called it, I forget what you called it, the computer, the digital,
but it's electronic.
Electronic, yeah. But online versus offline, right? And I shouldn't even say online versus offline. It's how online and offline work together. So the cool thing is the concepts are always exactly the same. The executions are different. So just like we talked about at the beginning with the long buy cycle and the short buy cycle, you want to make sure that you're engaging people. You've got an automated way. So the nice thing about online is it's super easy to automate. Offline is still great. It's just harder to automate. So it doesn't mean we ignore it. It just means we want to make sure that it's not dependent on me or you or, you know, as an owner to kind of get this done. So the encouragement I would give you is we really want to make sure, first and foremost, we're crystal clear on who our customer is, right? Because if we don't have that, nothing's gonna work. Second of all, what their pain is. So many people, and I get so frustrated. I feel like I rail about this just every third show. I'll coach someone, they'll go, what about Facebook? And I'm like, it doesn't matter about Facebook. Who are you talking to and what's their pain and how can you communicate that you can effectively communicate that to them? Well, should I do a live event? Should I do fill in the blank with whatever direct mail? The answer is maybe, but really what are you going to say and how can you be compelling? So you want to make sure that you've got online and offline funnels, automated funnels. And a funnel doesn't, people hear funnels, they think of like click funnels or, you know, an online process, which they absolutely can be, but a funnel most certainly could be. I heard, you know, Andrew speak at a local chamber meeting and he said something that I was like, that's me. And he offered a free lunch and learn he was going to put together for some local business owners that I was interested in. And then at that lunch and learn, he offered the opportunity to come do an assessment of my building and give me some tips and tricks on how I can run it more effectively. And after that, I invited him to do a bid for me. See, there's not a single online piece of that. And it's still a funnel, right? And maybe if I did hear him speak and I did download I forget what the second lead magnet I made up was. I didn't take the third step, but every couple of weeks I got a call, a piece of mail, a phone, an email, whatever the case is. But we want to make sure that there's always an upfront component of turning strangers into people that know, like, and trust you. Guess what? I'm on a Facebook Live. There's some people watching or listening right now that I never heard of this dude. And then an ongoing way to continue that conversation to build the relationship. So absolutely agree, Andrew. Online, offline, both important. As long as they're scalable and systematizable and don't depend on you hustling and doing the work, I love them. And even if they do depend on you, that's okay if they're a piece of your marketing or client attraction, you know, full picture. But if they're the only one, that's a problem. Right. All right. What else? I feel like we've been on, so we're gonna wrap it up. If anyone's got any questions, let me know. I'll try and answer a couple if anyone's got anything. Andrew, what's the big takeaway? Give me in the time that we spent together, give me the one thing that you're like, if I could help, you know, I can give the most value to people listening, do this. And then the flip side, if I could give the most value to people listening, don't do this. So give us both. And then while he's doing that, if you guys have any questions, let me know, put them in the chat. But Andrew, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I think pain is probably the most, all of it's important. You know, you can drive a car that doesn't have a seat, but you can't drive a car that doesn't have an engine. So, I mean, every component you've got is a component that makes that thing go. But I think understanding clients' pain is, of course, you got to know who they are too. But once you figure that out, just knowing their pain and even figuring the client, who's your customer? The process that I went through in the Clean Profit Method was I started out when I was proposed to ask, who's my customer? And I'm thinking residential or commercial. No, that's not a customer. A customer is a specific cross section of the population, whether it's on the residential side, a mother or a married couple with three kids, both have full-time jobs and they make between $300,000 and $500,000 household income. I mean, that's a customer. That would be a customer. And I didn't really think in those terms. So I think that's huge. And then knowing their pain, you know, I have found that a big pain in residential is time. You know, that may or may not be the pain of that particular client, but if you had to take a guess, that'd be a darn good one. And then on the commercial side is profitability. You know, that would be a pain because, you know, every company that's going to hire a company to come in and clean, they've got to have budget for it, but if they're going to hire you, that means that it's important to them to support their customers. And the customer, of course, may be just an employee. It may be that they have to keep OSHA rules under control, and you know, the slipping hazard from dust is important to avoid and that kind of thing. But they definitely have customers of their own that they're looking to serve. So those, you said one, you know, I gave you two, but I mean, those, that's your 1-2 punch, you know your customer and know your pain, but those are really huge. They really are.
So the beautiful thing is what I would take away from Andrew's piece is A, I agree with everything he said. B, on the commercial side, it's probably the clearest. A lot of us give a bid for cleaning, but if their pain is profitability, you got to tie your service to their pain, right? So if they don't have pain around dirt, and they'll tell you, I want to clean, but they don't. They want to feel better about themselves. They don't want to get in trouble with their boss. They want to be more profitable. They want to save this employee who's constantly complaining about having to clean themselves from doing that or complaining. They want something. So you want to make sure you're tying your service and your solution to that pain, right? Omar says, I know who my customer is. I'm having trouble reaching the operations end of the business to actually give my pitch or presentation. Just an opening is all I need. So great question or piece of feedback, Omar. I would really coach and encourage you to change your entire mindset on that. We are not looking to give a pitch or presentation. We're 26 minutes in. Omar's here. I have not pitched nor presented anything. He's here. Had we started with, all right, you live viewers or people listening to the replay, I've got you. You are going to hear my pitch. Let me tell you how great I am. And you would have been gone, right? So I would encourage you. It's not that you want to give a pitch or a presentation. You want to understand what their pain is and see how you can help them solve it. So look at what we're doing right now. I've pitched nothing. I got on and said, Andrew's a really smart guy who's had some success. I know he's got value to add to the rest of the community. Andrew, come on and share your value with the community. As you do that, when I hear something I think is value, I'll chip in. Some people are going to go, this guy's a knucklehead. I wouldn't let him coach my kid at soccer. God bless you. That's fine. Moving along. Other people are going to go, I need this in my life. I'm going to call this idiot and see if I can be a big rock star like Andrew is. That's fine too. But we really want to set stuff. At no point do I pitch or be like, once I get Andrew on the phone, then I can sell him. What my sales process looks like, you know, spoiler alert for anyone else wants to work with me, is a lot of asking questions and trying to understand what your pain is and trying to help you solve it. And if I think I'm the best solution for that, God bless it, I'm going to try and help you. If I don't think I'm the best solution, I'm going to try and help you anyway, just not with me. I'm going to say, go do this or here's some other resources. So Omar, I want to encourage you to really look at who that operations manager is and say, and figure out what pain you can solve for them and just try and help them and bring value. When you start bringing value, all of a sudden it's very easy. They're very interested. So all the people call me, they give so much value in advance. They call me and go, I want help. So I don't have to sell anybody. I get to just serve, right? So we want to move from pitching and presenting to serving and helping. If you do that enough for free and help enough people solve their problems for no money, enough of them will go, wow, this is the value I get without being a customer. What will my life be like if I was a customer? Like, I'm getting so much more. Justin says he was listening to my pitch. Thanks, Justin. I'm going to have to start working on a pitch just so I can give it to you, buddy. So all that said, if you guys do want help and would like more help, so again, whether you take advantage of this or not, maybe you look at the Robert says, oh, first. Awesome. That's exactly right. So two things. One, I'm going to tell you how I can help you next. And the backside of that is if you're not interested, still go, well, how can I implement these kinds of steps in my business? How can I, you know, Mike's obviously doing well getting clients. I want to get clients. Maybe I can use some of the same concepts. So if any of you guys would like my help sitting down with you and doing, looking at where you're at, where you want to be, figuring out a plan to get there, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. You can book as of now. I'm doing all these calls. I don't know how long that's going to last because we're getting just too many requests and I'm going to have to get some help. But as of now, it will, it'll be me. I will jump on the call. I'll do everything I know how to do to help you get where you want to be in your cleaning company. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. Oh, my lovely bride, Natalie, put it up there. Anyway, good. Hopefully that's helpful to everybody. Andrew, I'm going to let you close it out. Any words of wisdom you want to leave Cleaning Nation with?
Yeah, Mike, you know, it's the same thing that I try to remind myself in, believe in yourself. You know, we're created by God with creative juices, with everything we need to do what we dream of doing. And there's distractions, there's